Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Purify our conscience, Almighty God, by your daily visitation, that your Son Jesus Christ at his coming may find in us a mansion prepared for himself, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's first reading is from the book of Micah. You, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, who are one of the little clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has brought forth. Then the rest of his kindred shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall live secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be the one of peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 80, to be read responsibly by half verse. Hear, O shepherd of Israel, leading Joseph like a flock.
Shine forth, you that are enthroned upon the cherubim.
In the presence of Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh,
stir up your strength and come to help us.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
O Lord God of hosts,
how long will you be angered despite the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears.
You have given them bowls of tears to drink.
You have made us the derision of our neighbors,
and our enemies laugh us to scorn.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Show the light of your countenance, and we shall be saved.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews. When Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, see, God, I have come to do your will, O God. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. When he said, you have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these were offered according to the law. Then he added, see, I have come to do your will. He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And it is by God's will that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, Mary set out and went with haste to a Judean town in the hill country, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leapt for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to his descendants forever. The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, you're God who's present with us. This is the time of the season when that's when you really want to impress on us, that you're with us, that you came down in the form of a man to be present with us, to know us, to walk with us, to show us the way. So Lord, help us to look for the way and then to follow the way. Help us to look to trust you in all things and trust your word. And help us most of all this season to walk through life in faith and not in fear. For we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. What lens do you look at life through? I mean, what's your perception? How do you look at life? I mean, what lens do you see life out? I mean, are you the kind of person that, you know, I mean, the old analogies, you know, do you look at life half full or half empty? Do you got to be right? Do you have to have it where it's secured, you know, where you know at all times? You know, I've always loved that analogy about, you know, where, you know, so often at times you got to change your paradigm. And it's an analogy that you probably have all heard, but I want to read it to you again, because to me, I think this is sometimes what the scripture is trying to get us to do. The story goes like this. A battleship was on an exercise at sea in bad weather. The captain was on the bridge. It was foggy. Just after dark, the lookout spotted a light on the starboard side. The captain asked if it was steady or moving. The lookout replied, "The light was steady," meaning they were on a direct collision course with that ship. The captain ordered the lookout, "Signal to the other ship. Change course 20 degrees. We are on collision course." The signal came back, "Advisable for you to change course." The captain signaled, "I am a captain. Change course 20 degrees. I am a seaman, second class. You better change course 20 degrees, came the reply. The captain was furious. He sent back, "I'm a battleship. Change course." Back came the signal, "I'm a lighthouse." The captain changed course. You know, in all truth, you know, I mean, what's the perception you look at? I mean, your perception, it's with your perception that actually you interpret, you remember. It's with your perception that you look at life and all of life. It's where, are you in the narrative that you've created, or are you in reality that's actually there? You know, the scripture for today is really quite interesting, because it's a scripture of where basically Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary is pregnant now with Jesus, and Mary travels. It says very clearly that she travels from where she is, up in Nazareth, to Judea, which means it's probably at least a 50 to 70 mile trip, okay? And she goes over and she travels. She's probably in her first trimester, and she comes and she sees, you know, Elizabeth, and she walks in the house, and, you know, Elizabeth is overwhelmed, and she's, "Oh, my goodness, you know, what brings the mother of my Lord to come and be with me? For I felt the child inside myself leap for joy." In other words, John the Baptist, through the power of the Holy Spirit, recognized that the Messiah, Jesus, was there. And then she says this line, And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. You know, it's interesting that she says that. Because you've got to put this in context. You've got to put this in a context of what's gone on. I mean, you know, 6 months prior to, you know, Jesus being told that, you know, I mean, that Mary being told that Jesus was going to be, you know, don't forget the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah, the priest, and he's in the Holy of Holies. Okay, and Gabriel comes in and says, you know, you're going to have a child. And you know, Zechariah is shaken, says he's afraid at first. Well, I can understand that, you know. But Gabriel says, you're going to have a child. And then all of a sudden, after he's told that he's going to have the child, okay, that his wife, Elizabeth, he says this, he says to him, he says, well, how can I be sure of this? For I am old and my wife is old also, basically. And she's barren. I mean, we haven't had a child. How can I be sure? The reason that Elizabeth says this to Mary is because Mary believed when Gabriel came. Well, you know, when Gabriel came to visit her, she basically said, to quote, you know, the Beatles, let it be, you know, let it be. Let it be as it's supposed to. Let it be as it's supposed to. In a lot of ways, you know, I have to laugh, and this is just an aside. I mean, basically, Elizabeth is dissing her husband, Zechariah, because he didn't believe. He said, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? I mean, Elizabeth never visited by Gabriel. It says very clearly that when she conceives, it's Gabriel visits Zechariah. Zechariah finishes his priestly duties. He goes home. He lays with his wife. But he cannot speak from the moment that Gabriel talks to him. So he can't even tell her what's really going on. And yet, Mary, when Gabriel comes, let it be. Let it be. You know, what a difference that is. Here's this guy, a priest. You know, he should have faith. He should be, you know, where, okay, an angel came. Relatively, I should be a little nervous. You know, I mean, it's not always everyday occurrence to run into an angel. Okay, but he shouldn't come back if he has faith and say, well, how can I be sure? How can I be sure of this? I mean, you know, can you give me any extra proof? How can I get it? Whereas Mary, a young woman who's probably, what, maybe 14, 15 years old, the angel Gabriel comes to her, she's scared too. She's overwhelmed. But she says, let it be as you have said. Let it be as you have said. Let me ask you guys a question. Please don't raise your hand and answer. Where are you with your faith? You're more like Zechariah, you're more like Mary. I mean, Zechariah, you'd think, I mean, he was a priest, he was trained, he was, you know, he had all that background. That didn't come very handy, did it? Whereas Mary, she had nothing. She had a faith like a child. And she was told she was going to have a child. You know what? When Zechariah says, you know, how can I be sure? How can I be sure? Sure is a four-letter word there. Because what it does is it says, I need proof. I don't need you to tell me. Faith doesn't work for me that well. I need guarantees. You know, in this day and age, I wonder how many of us need guarantees. Ask yourself. I mean, how much do you really believe? Do you believe that God's really going to take care of you? If you believe God's really going to take care of you, then you're probably going more towards the Mary side. But if you're saying, well, God's taking care of me, but I better make sure I get everything in order. I got to have all my ducks in a row. I got to have all my T's crossed, all my I's dotted. I got to have everything. You think God could take care of you without that? I'm not telling you not to do it. Please get your ducks in a row, okay? But I am telling you that faith says that even when you don't have your ducks in a row, that somehow God can work through you. Somehow God will protect you. God is always with you. And that's the one thing, the older I get, the more I am more and more sure of. That God's there even when I don't do it right. But if you've got to be right, odds are you're getting further and further away from God's righteousness. Because God's righteousness isn't being right the way we think. Well, I got all the right answers. You know, I chose correctly. It's not that. God's righteousness is being in relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. That's what it is. And when you walk with God through Jesus Christ, there is something that takes place within you that it doesn't say, well, I can be irresponsible now. You still have to be irresponsible. You still have to meet timetables. You do all that. But you know that there's a sense of grace that's coming at you that will make up for the difference. And so that it's not where it's catastrophe if you don't get everything done. Now, here's where I get personal. I only have a little bit left. I can get away with it. How personal do you take it when you have your agenda set and it doesn't go your way? You good at that or you not? How is it when, you know, things don't go right in the country exactly the way you wanted them to, and by God, you know, I'm going to let everybody know that, oh, I didn't go there. I mean, shoot, how many times did we see, I didn't vote for Obama, I didn't vote for Trump, I didn't vote for, I mean, every 4 years it seems like somebody didn't vote for somebody, but we don't get a whole lot more than that. Do you think God still has a hold of us? Or a hold of you? Because if you think that it's all dependent upon that other stuff, then your perception isn't based on God. Your perception is on what you can control. And I hate to put it this way, but my job as clergy is to tell you on how God can control it, not how you can control it. And your job as a child of God is to trust in that God's working through you, not that you got everything in hand. God, I hate this sermon. I hate it because it speaks to me, because I like to be in control. And yet, I cannot grow beyond where I'm supposed to grow unless somehow I say, somehow it's all going to come together. Yeah, practical example of this is, go look at my office. It's half clean. What am I going to do with all those books? What am I going to do? I mean, some of those books I've had since the 70s. I don't think I've opened most of them, but I've got them all, and I guess that means I know something. You know, it would look good if I had a photo app with those books behind me, but what am I going to do with them? They don't mean anything, but somehow between now and the next couple of weeks, I got to get rid of them all one way or the other. I got to change everything, because life means change. Change is not a bad thing. Change is actually where you are following the leading of the God that you say you trust in. But you can't say you really trust in Him and have faith if you got to be sure. Doesn't that feel uncomfortable? To have to be sure. To have it. Like, well, I need a little bit more here, God. You know, I've said over and over again the last couple of months, you know, I mean, I'm so tired of being on a need-to-know basis with God. And yet, isn't that the way He leads all of us? The story in the scripture today, what we have is a comparison of two people, Zechariah and Mary. Not Elizabeth and Mary. Zechariah and Mary. Both had similar experiences. The angel Gabriel comes to them both. They're both told things that they were not expecting, things that they weren't planning on, things that changed their entire agenda for their entire life. One received it incredibly well, Mary. My soul magnifies the Lord. Here I am, give it to me. I'll go with it. I don't understand it. Because what she does, how can this be? God understands that we won't understand miracles. He doesn't want us to. It's a mystery. God understands that we'll have questions as we go along. He realizes that. He created us. But what God really does not want us to do is to where Well, I'll move on it once you give me a little bit more information. This deal isn't closed yet. You see, if the deal was supposed to be closed the moment you entered into a relationship with him, I guess the question is, how deep is your relationship? If your relationship is continuing to grow and continuing to go deep, then, to tell you the truth, you're probably able to take a little bit more risk from a human perspective and a little bit more faithful from a spiritual perspective. But if you have come to the place where you say, well, I'll trust him for the things that are totally out of my control, but those everyday things I'm not trusting in, then you're missing the spiritual life that's available to you on this earth. The kingdom of God is within you. Whose kingdom is it, though, that you have ruling you? Is it your own kingdom that's ruling you? Or is it the kingdom of God that's ruling you? I love these scriptures. I love the story of Christmas. I love the mystery of it all. But what I like the most is it makes me change my paradigm in the midst of everything. Because I've got to look at it not with the eyes of Jim Spencer, but the eyes that God has given Jim Spencer. There is no guarantee out there. The only thing you have is a promise. And that promise is from Jesus himself, who says, "Lo, I'll be with you to the end of the age." As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come carrying that promise, not looking for guarantees. Not trying to be sure, but rather saying, "I don't get it, but let it be." For it's in that movement that all of a sudden your life will be freer than you've ever been before. You'll have more peace than you could possibly imagine. And what I believe at least happens in my life is every person that I look around me, even if they irritate me, somehow in the midst of it, I can see a purpose in me being with them. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.